Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy summertime to everybody out there celebrating. We got a big week ahead here. You'll be hearing some best of. You'll be hearing some stuff about the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill. And I got my Window Nation plus sign on here, too. You buy two, you get two free. That's the way Window Nation works. It's the entire month of June. You'll be hearing me talk more about that. One thing we wanted to talk about this month was more nights where we would go out to Oriole Park and see debuts and see the baby birds on display. And I swear to God, it's like this franchise lives under this rain cloud. Luke Jones joins us now. He is our insider. You can find him at Baltimore Luke out on the Twitter thing. And of course, out at BaltimorePositive.com looking for positive news regarding the Baltimore Orioles. And we've been talking for years about Rodriguez and Hall and Rutschman and when they're going to be here and the accelerated timeline. And I think even you, who's usually optimistic, found some level of gray cloud in the silver lining here over the weekend, because you start talking about spring training for this kid next year, the season's over for Grayson Rodriguez pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard not to look at it through that lens. I mean, I think there's a possibility we do see him in September. Does that mean with the Orioles necessarily? I'm skeptical of that. I think you're talking about a lat strain here. And you know, with Mike Elias, the way that he spoke about this late last week, and I even said this on Twitter, a couple people asked me just, you know, what did I think? When do I think he's going to be back? I said, I don't really know. But the way that they talked about this led you to believe this wasn't just a clear-cut grade one strain. Made me think it's probably between a grade one and a grade two, which, you know, that's a longer timeline. You know, he's going to be shut down for a number of weeks. He's going to go to Sarasota shortly, and he'll be there for the time being. You know, Elias talked about it Sunday morning, saying, you know, they are hopeful that he could be in play to pitch or in a game setting come September. But where is that exactly? You know, do you want to just get him on the mound if Aberdeen or Bowie are in the playoffs and you give him an outing or two that he can feel good about, and then you go into a normal offseason and he's ready to go for spring training? You know, it just feels tough to fathom that would be in Baltimore. So, you know, the good news is, keep in mind, this kid's still only 22 years old. He was a high school pitcher. You know, Dan Duquette, the final year of the Duquette Showalter era, when they drafted him in the first round in 2018, he was out of high school. So it's not as though we're talking about someone who's 25 now, pushing 26, where you're saying, wow, you got to get him in the majors. But it's so disappointing, because at this point, Nestor, I wasn't completely unconvinced that we weren't going to see him before this current homestand came to an end. So instead, we're talking about a lat strain, which, you know, it isn't Tommy John surgery. It's not the rotator cuff, but it's not tweaking a hamstring covering first base either. You know, it's something you need to be careful with, because you are talking about the back connecting to truly a lat muscle strain, but it is the kind of injury that you can't rush back, because, you know, breaking news, the back's really important for pitching or just about anything you're talking about from an athletic standpoint. So they have to be careful here. And again, when you're here in September, that leads you to believe that unless this timeline ends up being way more optimistic, it ends up being more accelerated from a healing standpoint, chances are we're not going to see Grayson Rodriguez in Baltimore anyway until 2023. Could be wrong, but that's what it feels like at this point. You want to be careful with this kid because, again, consensus, this wasn't just someone the Orioles love. This guy's the consensus top pitching prospect in baseball right now when you look at all the, you know, Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, Fan Graphs, et cetera. So got to be careful with the talent like that. But boy, it's disappointing in the short term. There's no question.
Well, Luke, a couple things. He comes out of the game sort of in the middle of the night, there's a game going on. Someone reported, I retweeted it. I saw Dan Connolly out there. I thought, well, this is kind of strange, especially at that point that he was lifted from the game that late in the game. So there was immediate speculation. But I do want to talk about Elias, because he hasn't had to make a lot of pronouncements over 5 years here. The team stinks. He drafts people. Soon come, soon come, soon come. We're doing our best. He hasn't had to answer for all of the awful quad A pitching and worse that they've had around here, and bringing guys to the big leagues that did not deserve to be in. I mean, all of that went on. You give him the benefit of the doubt. It's 110 losses. He inherited it, all of that. But when he starts speaking truth about injuries and he says, this is going to be a long time, I'm inclined to believe him. You know what I mean? Inclined to believe him that this is, that they're going to baby him. They're not going to rush him. Why rush him back in August or September in a lost year? All they really care about is that he can be in the rotation next April. Now, they would have liked that with 18 starts and maybe getting beaten around a little bit, maybe being okay, but promising, probably not coming in and looking like Cy Young in the beginning. But I think that that's all they really cared about was, can he be game two starter next April when the season kicks off? And can he be a healthy 30, 35 start guy next year? Because tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. I don't think Elias or Mydell are in any trouble with Johnny Boy, who's off wearing his boots in Nashville and, you know, not even around the team. But there has to be some level of productivity, and everything for them is tied to pretty much these three kids right now, right? Hall, Rodriguez, and Rutschman. That's sort of the core of it. We, you know, we think of Mullins and Mancini and the guys around Mountcastle and Hayes out here as part of the core. But we think about when this team is going to win again and what Elias has signed up for and what he's been working on for 4.5 years. This kid's in the middle of all of it. Because if this kid is detached from this and he never makes a start, and he's Brian Taylor, and I'm going back into the way, but if he never pitches, the Orioles are a different franchise over the next 5 years than if this kid is going to make 120 starts over the next 5 years, right? Like, literally.
Yeah, and I think that's where you kind of look at how the Orioles have done this philosophically under Mike Elias and Sig Mydell. It's very apparent, and you and I have talked about that over the last few drafts. I mean, how little pitching they have drafted. It's very clear with their predictive modeling from a drafting standpoint, they have targeted college hitters. It's obvious. I mean, we've talked about that now for 3 years. We'll talk about it as they get closer to the draft this summer.
That's what their blackjack book says that to do. Right?
And what we know about college hitters, as opposed to even college pitchers, let alone talking about high school pitchers. And keep in mind, DL Hall and Grayson Rodriguez were inherited here. Now, supremely talented, no question about that. And DL Hall made his latest start for Norfolk on Sunday, and you saw the results. Struck out a bunch of guys. You know, he's looking good. They're still stretching him out. Keep in mind, he had the elbow issue last year with a stress fracture. Wasn't a UCL issue, but you got to be careful with that. But when you look at how they've trended in terms of how they've drafted, it's very clearly heavy, heavy, heavy college hitters. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean the Orioles don't have other interesting arms in this system. And we know that they've acquired guys. I mean, we've talked about Kyle Bradish, who, you know, I know the numbers haven't been pretty overall, but we have seen a couple outings where you do like what you see, you know, at least some promise there, no question about it. There are other arms in the system that have some promise at various levels, you know, including Carter Baumler, who, you know, was someone they drafted the pandemic year out of high school, that rare high school pitcher that they drafted. He underwent Tommy John surgery that fall. Now he's back on the mound, but, you know, he's at a low level in the system right now. My point is, Rodriguez and Hall, they have clearly invested so many eggs into their respective baskets in terms of how important they're going to be. Now, doesn't mean Grayson Rodriguez, you know, even if we talk about him in terms of being fully healthy, doesn't mean he's going to be a Cy Young Award candidate. Same thing with DL Hall. But to your point, you're absolutely counting on these guys to be foundational pieces of your rotation, at least in the way that, could we say, at the very least, the worst case scenario, you're hoping they can be a Chris Tillman and a Wei-Yin Chen, let's just say, you know, and again,
always hoping for Palmer McNally, but that's just me.
Of course. But I'm just saying, in terms of just looking at this from a practical sense, guys that you're saying, okay, they're going to pitch for you for 4, 5, 6 years, you know, hopefully longer. And again, they have much higher, you know, a much higher expectation for those guys in terms of their ability. I'm just saying that, you know, you said it, in the medium term, they're so critical to this process because so much of their system is built on positional player talent and college hitting talent. And we know, and Houston's a great example of this, the idea that you have this pipeline, even if it's heavy on positional talent, what can you do with that? You can go trade for pitching in the way that the Astros went and got Justin Verlander. They got Garrett Cole. They acquired Zach Greinke. I mean, they've acquired pitching, you know, whether it's via trade or they've gone out and made signings. So you can do it that way. I'm not saying philosophically that it's flawed that they've decided to draft more college hitting, but when you're two shiny toys at the top of your prospect list are Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall, and now they both have dealt with, you know, not catastrophic worst case scenario kind of injuries, but these haven't been minor injuries either. It does make you a little nervous in that way because they're kind of your baseline, right? You know, those are the two guys that, like I said, whether they're Cy Young candidates or whether they're just rock solid top half of the rotation caliber arms that you're going to count on to make 30 starts a year. Well, that's part of the issue here. And some of it's been out of their control. The pandemic year wreaked havoc on prospects across baseball. And I think specifically pitching, because you look at Grayson Rodriguez, as much as you talk about this kid, he's a big kid, you know, 6'5", 220 pounds. I mean, I remember seeing him in the Orioles press box in, I guess it was the year he was drafted. And my goodness, he was 18 years old and he looked like he was 21. I mean, just a big kid, impressive. But the reality is, Nestor, since the pandemic year 2020, he threw 103 innings last year. Okay, no problem with that. 56 innings this year. And to your point, and Elias talked about this on Sunday, whether he breaks north with the club on opening day or whether, you know, you give him a month and month and a half, you know, the service time, you know, all the different things we talk about, you still wonder how many innings can you really expect from him if you're trying to manage not just his development, but also just getting him here and wanting him to, you know, to establish himself as a legitimate high impact starter for you. So that's where this is so disappointing. It has nothing to do with the fate of the 2022 club, but you did want to get him here, whether it was going to be this week, whether it was going to be in 2 weeks, whether it was going to be after the All-Star break, and give him X number of starts at the major league level to not just get his feet wet here and get acclimated to major league hitters, but to build up those innings. And I don't know what his limit would have been if he was a little over 100 last year. You're thinking, okay, 120, 130, you know, somewhere in that range probably. And then next year, you know, maybe you're not taking the reins off entirely in that way, but you're much closer to an unrestricted young pitcher from an inning standpoint. And I get it. People are listening to this and they say, well, you know, that's arbitrary. You know, we're relying too much on pitch counts, too much on innings. And I'll hear some
that's
of that.
That's the way it works, though. Dude.
But that's the way, right. That's how all teams do it at this point. I mean, that's just not the Orioles.
Showalter even does it that way.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's where this is so disappointing, because, you know, it's just he hasn't pitched a whole lot in live game settings. Now, you know, he was at the alternate site a couple years ago when, you know, they had their most prominent prospects at Bowie while they were, you know, coddling together a 60-game weird season that we all remember. But it's just a lot that hasn't gone well. And as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, this isn't even a knock on Elias or the process, but you look at how this thing has played out. Imagine a world where there's no pandemic, which, boy, that would have been nice for a lot of us, not just the Orioles, right? But imagine that.
I would have had a lot more fun.
Yeah, no question. But
less work, though.
but if not for that, Adley Rutschman could already be an all-star catcher. And we'll get to him in a moment because there's plenty to talk about with him. And Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall could already be in this rotation. And how about talking about Heston Kjerstad? What's gone on with him with having myocarditis? He has the really significant hamstring injury in March. You know, he's just now at a point where he's playing an extended spring training. He's going to go out to Delmarva soon. In an ideal world, talking about the fact that he was a college hitter drafted two years ago.
Delmarva, he should have been in Norfolk hitting .298, right?
In a best case scenario, he could be knocking on the door, and you're talking about a team that, you know, I'm not saying the Orioles be leading the AL East, but maybe they'd be in wild card contention.
If he was a great draft pick. If he was a great draft pick, he'd be in the big league.
Sure. Yeah. And everything I just laid out, that's a hypothetical, right? That's also assuming, you know, no pandemic, first of all. And second of all, that these guys all pan out. We don't, you know, we know that prospects don't always pan out.
That's even the baseball, football, right? Yeah. We talk about these number one, number one, number one, like they have to come along. Yeah. And we go back around here with every Mark Smith and every, yeah, I can name a million names of first round draft picks that never made it or just were blips, you know. But when you're drafting 1-1, when you're drafting 1-3, 1-4, 1-5, these guys can't be blips. They have to, you know, they have to play. They they can't be Joey Harrington. They can't be Jamarcus Russell.
No question about it. So that's what's frustrating about this. I don't speak to mean this to be a doom and gloom kind of thing, but it does really, you know, this latest injury reiterates just how much of this really hasn't gone to plan. But that's also why when Mike Elias came in November of 2018, what did we hear about? The buzzword was a talent pipeline, right? You know, over and over and over, we heard about the pipeline. Well, this is why, because you know that even some of your top guys are maybe not going to make it. And I'm not going to say that these guys aren't going to make it. I mean, a year or two from now, we might be talking about all these guys as all-star types. But we know that even can't-miss prospects sometimes miss. And that's why it's important to have a lot of depth to your system. And in fairness, the Orioles do have a lot of other really interesting players on the way. And, you know, Gunnar Henderson, and, you know, we'll see, you know, a good chance we're going to see Kyle Stowers from AAA at some point here in the not too distant future, hitting a bunch of home runs and playing outfield. So, you know, you have lots of guys at various levels that are interesting. But again, when you're talking about, you know, in the case of Adley Rutschman, 1-1, in the case of Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall, your two prize pitching prospects that you inherited, if you're Mike Elias and Sig Meidel, if someone had told you 3 years ago, and again, I wrote this on Friday night, that was the 3-year anniversary of Adley Rutschman being selected. If someone had told you 3 years ago that Adley Rutschman would still be looking for his first major league RBI and Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall still wouldn't be in the majors, would have been a lot of disappointment at that point in time. And again, the pandemic has happened since then. So that's something no one would have envisioned. And that kind of delayed this, you know, significantly, but some of the other factors at work here with some of the injuries and whatnot. Yeah. It's disappointing. Doesn't mean that this isn't going to work, but it is a reminder. And I'll even call back to Matt Wieters and the cavalry and all that, you know, the cavalry with Andy McPhail and grow the arms and buy the bats. Buck Showalter and Dan Duquette, ultimately there was some fun with that group, but boy, that didn't play out the way Andy McPhail envisioned 5-6 years earlier than that. So it just shows, you know, you can have your best laid plans and then, you know, it rarely works out exactly as you expect it to. That's for sure.
All right. Luke Jones is here. You can find him at Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net. The elephant in the room is the 1-1 who was brought up 2 weeks ago to revelry and fanfare, even if people didn't buy tickets because they were stupid enough to do it on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, which still sort of boggles my mind for their biggest event of the year. But the question is, Dan, let's soft pedal this kid. He's a 1-1. Everybody knows who he is. He'll eventually hit. He's a prospect. Boy, you know, 2 weeks into this thing, it's sort of Brooks Robinson-ish and Cal Ripken-ish from that standpoint of scuffling, as they'd like to say. They're not sending him back to the farm, but dude's got to hit the ball, right? I mean, like, this is starting to become troublesome because you start getting into 50, 75, 100 at bats and batting a buck and a quarter. You have to hit 550 to get out of that for a couple of weeks. Literally, you'll have to be torrid to get his average up to 250.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, look, we can't sugarcoat it. He's off to a bad start. There's no question about that. You know, I think if you watch it on a nightly basis, has he hit into a little bit of tough luck here and there? Sure, I'll give him that. The one thing I have liked overall, although on this homestand, maybe not quite as much, and maybe a little bit of a, you know, a symptom of maybe the fact that I think he's pressing at this point. But before that, he was having lots of good at-bats and working counts, having professional at-bats, just not getting the results. But you're right. You know, you get into the range where you're up to 50 or 60 plate appearances. you don't want the, and even though he's not really that young, I mean, he's 24, you know, we're not talking about a 20-year-old Manny Machado being called up here where you'd say, okay, maybe he's not ready.
Or a kid that doesn't speak the language, right? Like, I mean, Armando Benitez. I think of guys that just had communication barriers, maturity barriers. You know, this kid's groomed to go do this. This shouldn't be too big for him. It shouldn't be.
And I think the other thing that you do acknowledge here, which is a factor, because I know Matt Wieters talked about this years ago, you know, after, you know, he was established a year or two in the major leagues. When you are talking about a catcher and handling a pitching staff and everything that entails, you know, you do have a little more on your plate rather than just, you know, some 22-year-old left fielder who, okay, he needs to know where to be positioned on any given pitch and batter, but there's not as much to go through in terms of meeting with the pitchers, meeting with the pitching coaches, going through scouting reports, going through your plan. You know, I mean, now you have the electronic, you know, the device that they use for the calling the pitches. I mean, all those different things. And again, I'm not laying out an excuse. Adley Rutschman would be the first to tell you that, hey, I'm hitting, you know, going into this week of play, I'm hitting 60 points below the Mendoza line. Like, yeah, I need to pick it up. He knows that. And at the same time, though, you are talking about someone with a track record that hit in the minors. I mean, obviously, this guy was 1-1 for a reason, and he's 24. You know, I had someone pose the question to me after Sunday's game, already saying, do you send him back down? I said, no, that's not even a consideration for me. And it's not anytime soon. And the question was, well, does he need a mental break? To which I would reply, if a 24-year-old former first overall pick that was the stud of studs in college baseball and led his team to a College World Series title and was the number one prospect in baseball, if he needs a mental break after two rough weeks in the major leagues, and it's been rough,
you
picked
the wrong kid then.
Then you have way bigger issues than what his numbers look like at the moment. So I'm not worried about it in those terms. However, the swing has looked a little long. Sure, no question about that. And, you know, he's pressing. And I think that's understandable. You know, everyone that you talk to, and we see it every time that an inning comes to an end, he goes and greets the pitcher. You know, there's a genuine caring here of this guy that really, really wants to do well, really cares about his craft, is, you know, does his due diligence, pays attention to detail. So I think you just have to let him play and keep sending him out there, and I think he'll be fine. And, you know, I don't know that 100% certain. And as we said, there's no such thing as a can't miss prospect, because we've seen can't miss prospects miss. But 2 weeks into it, I think you just have to take it for what it is. And, you know, the one thing I will say, he's two big games away from a slow first two or three weeks, you know, from being in the rearview mirror and being a distant memory, right? He goes out and, you know, hits two home runs and drives in four runs, you know, at some point here over the next few games. You know, you're not thinking about that as much, but boy, on the heels of everything with Grayson Rodriguez, and you know, you'd like to have something to feel really good about.
And
you know,
by the
with
way,
Adley
they're kind
Rodgers.
Of buried in last place again, right? They're kind of like, you know, there was that moment where they hopscotched the Red Sox and gave the Red Sox a hard time on a weekend. That it's starting to feel like, oh, it's June. The catcher's no good. The pitcher's not coming. You know, guys are going to get hot and tired. Balls are going to fly even in the big ballpark. They don't have enough pitching. They don't have middle. There's so many things they lack that makes them look maybe not like a 300 team, but certainly a 400 team.
Yeah. I mean, are they better than they've been the last couple of years? I do think that, but boy, it's a reminder of just how bad they were. I mean, again, we're talking about a team that had 108 plus losses each of the last three full 162 game schedules. And it's a reminder of just how far they still have to go. I mean, just look at these last couple series. I mean, Seattle hasn't been very good. They lost two out of three. They had a chance to take the series, but they didn't. They lost two out of three. Same thing with Cleveland. So, you know, you're just looking at them. You know, there are things to like. You know, the bullpen continues to be outstanding. But to your point, do they have enough in the rotation? to prevent that bullpen from really being burned out. And I think Brandon Hyde's done a really nice job managing the bullpen. And I know, you know, you'll have those isolated games where someone will say, well, why did he bring this guy in? Why did he bring that guy in instead of this guy? Well, he's trying to manage for 162 games. I mean, that's just the reality.
Some nights they're going to win and some nights they're just going to lose. When they're losing 10 to nothing. And I mean, they've already used positional pitchers last week, right?
Right. Because, I mean,
why not? Right.
Sure. But you know, I mean, the bullpen, you know, I mean, look at Sunday's game. I mean, Dean Kramer gives up a 3-run homer in the first inning. He was okay after that. You know, but he wasn't fully built up coming off the IL. And but you look, I mean, their bullpen's giving them a chance every night. And, you know, you can't ask for more from what that group has done. But, you know, Sunday, for example, squandered some opportunities in the fifth and seventh inning and you know, just didn't get it done. You know, 3-2. I mean, you got to score more than two runs. So, you know, you're hoping still to see, you know, not just Rutschman, Cedric Mullins, you know, hasn't been the guy he was last year. And I think it was pretty easy to say he wasn't going to be a 30-30 guy again. I mean, that's first time it'd been done in club history, but you're looking for more from him. You know, Mountcastle, you know, showing some signs of late, you know, hit a long home run on Sunday to the opposite field, but, you know, still waiting for him to get going. You know, it's basically been Hayes and Mancini and you know, Santander a little bit, you know, to a lesser extent.
Well, those are the three big league players they have on the team. Those are the guys that big leaguers that are going to hit.
Yeah. I mean, you have four or five guys in the lineup that you feel good about and some other guys that, you know, I mean, Ramon Urias has his moments and some other guys have their moments, but yeah. So, you know, you have a couple of them not hitting to the level that you hope or anticipate and you lose John Means for the season. Grayson Rodriguez was going to be here, you know, sooner rather than later. And, you know, he's not coming back at least until September and likely next year. So,
I mean, all the stuff we talked about January, February from a hope standpoint of maybe they won't finish in last place. Maybe they won't lose 100 games, but they're probably still going to be, they're going to be flirting up in the upper 90s before this is over.
Yeah, and that's where
John Means coming back and pitching. Rodriguez isn't pitching. I mean, dude, you're just talking about 50 starts that they thought they were going to get major league starts out of 50 starts, and they're going to wind up getting none, literally none out of that. And look at what you're going to get from those starts. I don't even mean Zimmerman here. I'm talking about Dean Kramer is what you're going to get, right? You're going to get that instead of Rodriguez or instead of Hall or instead of Means.
Yeah, and that's where you're talking about someone like Dean Kramer, who was part of the Manny Machado trade. If you recall, he looked good at the end of 2020, you know, made four starts, had a couple really nice outings against the Yankees. Boy, guys like him, here's your opportunity, right? I mean, you squandered it last year. I mean, you got sent to Norfolk last year. You know, if you're Dean Kramer, and I'm just using him as an example, there's three or four other guys in a similar spot to
him. Somebody's got to take
advantage. Take advantage. This is your chance. I mean, I can recall Chris Tillman in 2012. We had seen Chris Tillman each of the previous few years, and it didn't look good.
Arrieta and some other guys that went on and did fine things.
Sure. But Chris Tillman in 2012, he started figuring it out, and then he became a mainstay in the rotation. So if you're someone like Dean Kramer or, you know, I mean, Bruce Zimmerman, we've seen him scuffle. There's no question about that. He's made some adjustments in his delivery. You know, those guys, boy, this is a great opportunity for you to establish yourself. You know, DL Hall should be here at some point, you know, over the next month or two, I would think. You know, you want to keep building him up and having success at Norfolk. But, boy, you'd love to see at least one or two of these guys look like they could be, say, a number four, number five starter for you. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. If you can get that, then that's just a couple more answers you have for at least the medium term, which is where the Orioles are. Yeah. It's where they are as an organization right now. They're getting closer, but they're clearly not there yet.
Well, the Cubs are here, we know
that'll
they
help.
Stink.
You think? Yeah,
that'll help.
You hope.
A yeah. lot of money, little expectation, big profits. Welcome to town, Chicago. He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And you can certainly find both of us together at BaltimorePositive.com this week. A little football, got mandatories next week. Orioles still scuffling as we expect. And of course, I will be talking a lot of soccer this week into next week with a big announcement coming next Thursday that, fingers crossed, might have the World Cup coming here in 4 years. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.